After understanding the management development program, one of the important characteristics for all the hospital employees, especially the top management and all, is empathy and counseling. Well, if in a factory, if the top manager is little indifferent to their employees and if they go on strike, the production will be lost. But once they come back from the strike, probably, and if their demands are met, if there is an apology taken by the top manager and they are going to work in both the shifts, or a little bit of overtime and a little bit of more money may go, but the production loss can be taken care of. But imagine in a hospital what happens if the top manager or the hospital administrator is a bit indifferent to the employees of the hospital, and if they go on strike, what will happen? It's a question of life and death for the patients who are depending, who are giving their life in the hands of the hospital employees for their treatment, and suddenly they go on strike, what will happen? Some of them may die. After that, suppose the administrator has given apology to the hospital employees, or additional pay and perks have been given to the employees, and they start working a little more time in the hospital also. Do you think that the lives that have been lost can be got back? Is it just not possible? So one has to be very, very careful while dealing with the hospital employees, and hence the counseling is extremely important with the top management of the hospital employees, as well as the hospital employees themselves should be having these attitudes while working in the hospital, so that the patients' lives can be improved, they can be cured, they can go with a smile from the hospital. So what are these attitudes of a top manager who should be there? They should have a respect for all the employees in the hospital, as well as the hospital employees should be having respect for all the patients who come to them, whether he is a beggar or the politician or whoever it is, the head of the hospital also. When he comes as a patient, the hospital employees should have a respect towards them. They should be having genuineness from heart, they should be doing, they should be empathetic, what the feeling of the patient, that feeling they should get themselves, and then only they can work with 100% effectivity. Self-disclosure should be there so that they become more friendly. Concreteness in their action should be there. There should not be anything which is artificial or something just to show off. There should be full understanding. They should be forgiving if something wrong has been done by the patient. Also to them, they should forgive them, because finally they are in pain, and under the influence of that pain and ache, suppose they get irritated or aggressive and do something wrong to the hospital employee also, they should forgive them. They should have jovial personality, because the patients are coming with lot of pain, lot of mental agony because of the physical or mental illness. If the hospital employee who is coming across such a patient, if they are little more jovial and humor, it is going to help them, and they should be keen, ardent listeners. Listening is an art, and all the employees should be listening to the patient's agony and with full compassion and empathy, which is helpful. So similarly, the administrator should be more of forgiving to the hospital employees, listening, and jovial personality and little bit of humor should be there in them, so that the hospital employees are highly satisfied with the job that they are doing, and they in turn are going to take care of the patients with empathy and listening attitude and all that. So let's understand the crux of this, the counseling. So what's the counseling that occurs? Basically, it's a discussion with an employee of work problems and personal problems both. Usually it has got emotional content in order to help the employees to cope with these problems themselves in a better way. So good mental health, when a person is having, it will lead to, he will feel much more comfortable about themselves. So self-confidence will be there, self-respect will be there, they will feel right about other people also, and they are able to meet the demands of life in much better way. So importance of good mental health is very much high, rather than only the physical health, and that can improve only by good counseling skills. The line management has to be advised on the general nature of the problems which the employees may face from time to time. So the top managers, who are the line managers, they should understand regarding the problems of their employees who are their subordinates, how they are going to face them from time to time when they are dealing with patients, when they are dealing with other subordinates, etc., so that they can have the right kind of attitudes which we described under counseling, and then they can take care of their subordinates in a positive way, whereby the subordinates in turn can take care of the patients they are treating in a positive way and become rock solid emotionally. They don't become emotionally disturbed by treating the patients, while curing the patients, while handling the patients, and in turn the patients will be treated compassionately, with conviction and with empathy, which will lead to better mental health of the patients and high satisfaction of the patients. So what are the common counseling issues that come across? One is stress management. People are having a lot of stress. Stress, what we mean, is basically distress when they are not able to cope up with the demands that are put on them. They may be working under high time pressure. They may be having some or the other physical illness which they are not able to cope up with, or mental problems which they are not able to cope up with. Then there can be couple or family issues where marital discord can be there, or aggressive child can be there where they are not able to cope up with that, or there may be some or the other problem the child has undergone in the form of sexual abuse in the school, and now he is mentally so disturbed that even the parents are not able to counsel that child, and it is leading to lot of scholastic problems and other mental problems for the child. Maybe the child is secluded, he doesn't talk, he goes into sometimes suicidal tendencies, and it can adversely affect even the mother of the child or father of the child at times. Then there are work related issues where a person has got type X manager who is too insubordinating, who is doing micromanagement, who is blaming the subordinate and never takes the blame, always takes the credit, and things like that may adversely affect the emotional health of the person who is working under such a boss, and lot of mental agony may occur which can adversely affect his physical and mental health also. Then if somebody from the family who is near and dear one, a close person, has died, then bereavement can be one of the reason where you need to counsel that person. There can be major health issues ultimately, which can be regarding physical health or even a mental health. Suppose a person is suffering from cancer, who is terminally ill, cancer, he is seeing into death every day in and day out. Naturally, he is mentally so disturbed, he needs counseling for tackling such a major problem. There are some people who are depressed, endogenous depression, can have lot of suicidal tendencies, and that person actually can commit suicide. So you need counseling for such people, otherwise it will be a major problem for them, whereby they can harm themselves in such a way that they can have major disabilities, or at times they may die also. And there are some people who are highly anxious due to some or the other reason, anxiety neurosis. There can be obsessive compulsive neurosis where they are so anxious about their hygiene that they go on washing their hands even if the hands are absolutely clean. They have seen something in the horror movie, and if as if they have murdered somebody, or they have seen something in the in their dream, and then they feel that that's the true dream, and then they go on washing thinking that there is some blood on their hand. So such kind of obsessive compulsive neurosis also, they will need good counseling. There are some children's issue regarding some major congenital malformations, say Down syndrome or cerebral palsy, or there can be the Mongol child Down syndrome, where Mongolism is there, idiotic child is there, then the parents may have a major problem with that and they are not able to cope up with that. Or hyper-aggressive child is there, which will lead to problem with the mothers also, and they need counseling. Then there are alcohol or drug misuse, where people are not able to cope up with their stresses. They start alcohol or some drug to manage this stress, but then it goes on tolerating more, and then addiction occurs and they can't do without it. In fact, that's going to affect their mental health much more adversely, and this will lead to they need de-addiction and they need counseling for that. Then there are other addictions, like some people may be addictive to the petrol fumes, lead petrol fumes. They can be addictive to cough syrup, they can be addicted to marijuana, opium and so many other drugs. Now Meow Meow is there, which is freely available unfortunately. They may be addicted to cigarette, tobacco. So all these people will need counseling so that they can stop such addictions. And whenever a person is having any kind of crisis in life, there are various kinds of crises which may occur in life. One of that can be some death of the loved or near and dear one, can be a mental crisis for that person. It can be loss of job, can be a crisis for a person. Even retirement can be a crisis for a workaholic person. So they need counseling at times, otherwise they are totally have a nervous breakdown. So what is the purpose of counseling basically? You have to observe that person, what he is undergoing. You should be very empathetic, compassionate. You should be able to feel what that person is feeling. You should give him the feedback. He can need counseling at the time of performance evaluation, because at times when a low rating is given in performance, he may break down. An enhanced mission, you can give him something great for his life if he is having low feeling or depression. And if his performance is not well, then also you may have to counsel him to improve upon his performance. So managing and improving performance, you may need counseling. And to provide professional and personal guidance also, you may need counseling. So what are the aims of counseling? General objectives can be in the form of to help the employees grow in self-confidence. When you take regular multiple sessions of counseling with a person who needs counseling, it gradually make him self-awareness, which will lead him to what is the problem exactly, and clarity of thoughts will be there, and he will become emotionally stable, and this will improve the self-confidence. It will improve his understanding about his problem. He will be able to control himself, which earlier he was not able to control. He was going into anxiety, neurosis or depression, or leading to addictions. And now he is able to work effectively by counseling. You can advise to an employee on the cause of his dissatisfaction and assist him to overcome that. You can give reassurance and courage to face up to his problems that he is having. You can give him information on company policies and gather information from management in regard to employee feelings and attitudes, whereby you can convert his negative mental attitudes into positive mental attitude. You can release his emotional tension which is pent up in his mind by gradually discussing out, supporting him, paraphrasing what he is telling, listening effectively, whereby he feels that there is somebody to listen. Otherwise, love and affection is something which is an essential need of everybody. And many times these people feel that there is nobody to listen to them. At times we have seen with family physicians who are very empathetic, 60-70% of people going to them may be just needing a psychological reassurance that they don't have anything. Just by going to these physicians, at times these people's half their physical problems are also resolved. So what is needed is release of their emotional tension which should occur. So a good counselor is going to do that by listening their problems actively, by showing keen interest in their problems and making them understand their own problems and making them strong enough to face those challenges themselves. Assist the employee in thinking clearly about this problem and reorienting his basic goals and values, whereby they themselves become fortified enough to face those problems and solve their problems. It is not necessary that the counselor has to suggest the solution every time to the patient who comes for counseling for their problems. Now, what are the role of a counselor while he is conducting the counseling? Counseling of junior enlisted personnel is usually by a senior enlisted person. It's not necessary that there has to be a professional counselor every time. Even a senior person can give counseling to the junior person. Even the supervisor may be able to counsel the subordinate, or a manager may be able to counsel the subordinate or supervisor. Officers become involved if the problem is reoccurring or if a serious nature of problem is there. In any case, you need to develop communication skills to be an effective counselor. So if you want to become an effective counselor, you should develop supportive communication skills, where you are going to attack the problem of that person, where you say that you are not generalized things but a specific thing. You are going to attack the thing which is issue based rather than a person based. You are never going to be judgmental about that person. Confidentiality is very, very essential to be maintained when a person goes to a counselor. No one outside of the counseling center is given any information regarding this patient for whatever reason it is needed. So high confidentiality is very essential. No one is allowed to know that you have visited the counseling center also. So ideally the counseling center should be at a remote place, not within the factory premises or not within the hospital premises, so that nobody can come to know that you are going to that center. The parents, friends or employers call, still the information should not be disclosed to them. Even their parents should not know that the teenager's son or daughter has come to a counselor. Even the employer should not know. You may see therapists on campus. They won't talk to you unless you decide to approach them. Now, when you have contacted the counselor in a remote place, but suppose they do come to the campus and you come across them, but still the counselor is not going to talk to you directly, as if they don't know. So that any other person who is in the surrounding area will not come to know that you have approached this counselor for your mental problem or whatever problem you are having. Now, what are the limitations of confidentiality? However, there are some limitations to it. The therapist believes that you have the intent to harm yourself. In that case, the parent or the immediate relative or friend who is staying with that patient should be informed about that, so that he takes care of that patient, unless only for that reason he may be given some information regarding this patient. The therapist believes you have the intent to harm someone else, or if during counseling sessions the therapist comes to know that it is likely that you are going to harm somebody else, in that case that person should be informed and alarmed or warned regarding this. Now suppose a person is having a schizophrenia or a paranoid psychosis, usually these people have got the illusions that there are some other people outside who want to kill them, who want to harm them, and in that case they are likely to harm those people. In fact, these people whom he sees in the illusion is something which is not existing, but he sees it because of his mental condition. So in that case, those people should be warned about this kind of illusions that this person is getting, and maybe this person may be kept under a psychiatrist's care so that nobody else should be harmed by this person. Let's understand about the different types of counseling. There are three types of counseling. One is directive, the second one is non-directive, and the third one is collaborative, where both types of counseling may be combined. Now, as far as the directive counseling is concerned, it means that a therapist or a counselor is going to help individuals solve the problem with his advice by providing him some expert information that he may be having, or he may recommend him to do something. He should try to allow individuals to develop the solutions by themselves. It should not be spoon-fed, but some specialized information, if the patient needs, that may be given to them, or some suggestions may be given, but ultimately the patient himself should solve his problem. While non-directive, they help the individuals to take initiative and develop their own solutions totally. No recommendations, no suggestions given. While in collaboration, you are combining both the types by working jointly on the diagnosis as well as solving of the problem. So, non-directive counseling, participative counseling, and directive counseling, these are the three types we saw. In non-directive counseling, if you see the counseling method, the employee controls direction of his conversation, while in directive counseling, the counselor controls the direction of conversation, how it goes. In case of non-directive counseling, the responsibility for solution is totally on employee, while the responsibility of solution is on the counselor with directive counseling. In the case of non-directive counseling, the role of participants is the employee is psychologically independent, he chooses the solution and he grows from within. While in case of directive counseling, the employee is psychologically dependent on the counselor. The emphasis placed in case of non-directive counseling is psychologically adjustment is paramount, while in case of directive counseling, the solutions of current problems, feelings and emotions are ignored by the counselor and he himself directs what should be done by the patient. Now, the techniques of counseling, if we see, it is not a very new thing totally that recently it has been developed. In fact, in the war between the Kauravas and Pandavas, right in Mahabharata, we have seen in Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna is counseling Arjun when Arjun has been very much aggressive, and then he has become depressed, throwing off all the arms and saying that I am not going to fight this battle, where Lord Krishna has counseled him and told him that you have to fight this war because you are the person who can do this for the winning the righteous path, and the wrong people should be punished for that, and you are just the person whom I have chosen to do that. Otherwise, I have already done everything. He has shown him in his counseling on the battlefield itself. Releasing emotional tensions helps gain power of understanding the things in their proper perspective. When the person who has come to the counselor is emotionally so perturbed that he is not able to think logically in his mind, and he has got absolutely confused. So when a counselor gradually leads the counselee into the problems that he is facing with clarity of thought and understanding, the counselee can find out the solution himself or herself. Effective communication, subordinates narrate their difficulties to their superiors, and for that the superior has to be having supportive communication style. He should be having active listening. He should be very positive in his dealing with the subordinate. He should never throw any tantrums or say that I don't have time to listen to you, and allow the person to come out with his problems. Always the door of the superior should be open to listen to the subordinate, and in that case the subordinate will come with any difficulties and the fear of from the mind of the subordinate can be removed, and he can be assisted and guided to solve his problems. And one should be always having positive mental thinking so that problems can be sorted out easily. What are the functions of counseling? One is giving advice, especially in case of the counseling given by those counselors who are giving suggestions and recommendations at time. They make judgment about the individual's emotional problems and lay down a course of action how to sort out these problems. Reassurance is very much important while counseling. Communication, maintain constructive employee attitude all the time. There should be open communication so that a patient who needs emotional support, he is able to narrate whatever problems he is having openly. Release of emotions will occur. Counselee ventilates pent up feelings. It will remove the mental block and it will enable him to face the problems from within. Clarified thinking will occur. Person is encouraged to accept the responsibility of what problems he is having, rather than having an external locus of control saying that everything outside is responsible for his problems. Reorientation, it involves change in the employee's psyche, that is self. He recognizes and accepts his own limitations and then changes his course of action and attitude towards the problems, and then find out the solution and implement that. What are the duties of employee counselor? He is helpful in induction of the new employees so that new employees get reassurance that they are wanted in this organization or in this hospital. They are always ready to help them for whatever problems they are going to face in future also. So a buddy is a good counselor for the new employee. A friend who is well informed about the hospital. Usually these people are well informed about the hospital, its hospital rules and regulations, and they can give the advice to the newcomer or to the person who needs it anytime whenever they need. One employee counselor for every 100 employees in a hospital is required. It is going to help solve the personal as well as official problems. It will help to boost the morale of these employees, which will lead to less grievances among the employees, and it will improve even the public relations also. In a small hospital, the work of the medical social counselor and employee counselor can be combined for every 50 inpatients and 50 employees. In fact, employee counselor can also help in taking care of those employees who are suffering from any addictions, maybe cigarette, maybe alcohol, maybe any drugs, can be marijuana, opium, heroin, etc. Appointment by human resource management. These can be given to HR personnel to work as counselor. They can be sent to School of Social Work for short course for that, or the HR manager can be himself from MA with psychology with specialization in clinical psychology, and he or she may have done MSW with institutions where they can learn the counseling better. Employee counselor can look into following problems of employees. One is leave of absence. If somebody is staying at home for a very longer time, sickness, absenteeism, which may be due to either some mental problem or due to addictions, alcohol is one of the very important reasons for that, then employee counselor can help them. Also, they can help in case of job transfer. At times, employees who are given transfer can be mentally so much upset that all their surrounding friends will not be there, their children will have to go to new school, their wife and parents may have to get adapted to the new location, it will be very difficult for them to adapt and all that. So at times they are emotionally so disturbed and they may need the employee counselor's help. Problem with immediate superior or colleagues, if somebody is having lot of personality problem, somebody may be having suspicious personality or aggressive personality whereby they are getting irritable or angry with smaller things and getting into fights with their immediate superior or the subordinates or the colleagues, then they need employee counselors to help them. If a person is having shift duty or duty on holiday, some of them get too much perturbed by that and then they may need counseling at times if they are not ready to do that. And with any kind of physical or mental illness, also some people do require counseling. Some people may fight for raising salary too much without having proper reasons for that. Some people may fight even for a locker or financial problems or debts. If they have taken debts at higher rate of interest and then they are not able to give that, and then somebody is coming outside the gate and harassing them, or from their salary it is being cut, then they are not able to take care of their family financial requirements and then they need counseling. There can be a property dispute or a marital problem also at home, then also they need counselor's help. And there can be children's problem where the aggressive child is there, or scholastically backward child is there, or there can be a child with Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or something which the couple is not able to cope up with mentally. So this is how we have seen a very important topic for a hospital administration, especially as the HR management is concerned, that is of training, development and counseling. As we saw, training is something which is mainly for the skilled people or technical people, where we are improving their skills. Education is comparatively more of a scholastic type, where generalized learning is there, while development is mainly for managerial people, where you are going to improve upon their managerial skills, improve upon their requirement regarding handling their subordinates, etc., by various methods. So we have seen the difference between education, the training as well as development. We learnt about the various benefits of training. We learnt about the process of training regarding how one should initially do the training assessment need for the individual, for the group or the team or for the organization as a whole, how to develop training objectives based on these need assessment, implement this training program by having the right kind of faculties. The faculties may be external or internal, and then evaluating these training programs based on the assessment needs that we have formulated initially. And then we saw where the management development programs are needed and the methods of these, being partly on-job training was mainly for training, while here we have seen that for management development program there was role playing, there can be management games, there can be training or the sensitivity training, etc., where the top managers are required to be change people if they were the problematic things for their subordinates most of the time due to their wrong type of attitudes towards handling the subordinates. And finally, we saw that for a hospital administrator, it is very, very difficult if they are going to tackle their subordinates with a wrong type of attitudes, where empathy and the attitudes of counseling, which we saw, are not there. And for a hospital, if the employees are disgruntled, naturally with their behavior with the patients, it can lead to a major disaster for the hospital. The name and fame of the hospital can be tarnished to a large extent if the employees are not having the right attitudes towards the patient, and hence the managers, the administrator, all of them should be having a very good counseling skills, where empathy should be there, compassion, commitment should be there for their employees, and employees in turn will be satisfied, and then they are going to take care of the patients, whereby the patients will be satisfied and the name and fame of the hospital also will go up. And in this competitive world of global competition, the hospital will still remain ahead, and overall it is going to help the society to a large extent. Thank you.